It's time to dive into the latest news and updates from the Vegas Golden Knights. This is Nighttime at Noon on Fox Sports Las Vegas.
Here we go, Las Vegas, just seconds after noon on Monday, March the 3rd, 2025. Welcome to Nighttime at Noon on Fox Sports Las Vegas, coming to you live from Studio 31 inside City National Arena in downtown Summerlin, Nevada. Dan Duva, Gary Lawless here for this episode. It is a fun day to have an episode of Nighttime at Noon. Not only are the Golden Knights coming off a shutout victory against the New Jersey Devils yesterday, Gary, we're just a few days away from Friday's NHL trade deadline.
That's always one of the, you know, one of my favorite weeks of the season, and it's been particularly fun if you work for the Vegas Golden Knights because of, you know, you go back to year one and the Golden Knights were in on Erik Karlsson that deadline. Right to the very end, and when that deal fell apart, they went and grabbed Thomas Tatar, but Mark Stone was a deadline acquisition. Ivan Barbashev, Alec Martinez, Robin Lehner, Jonathan Quick, Teddy Bluger. I'm missing somebody, but that's a pretty good list right there. They've done some shopping. At the deadline, Jack Eichel they got in November. Alex Pietrangelo was an off-season acquisition. Oh, yeah. Tomas Hertl and Noah Hanifin, those guys. So you never know what Kelly McCrimmon and George McPhee and Vaughn Carpen and the entire pro scouting staff, what you never know what they're doing and what they're planning. Actually, it's a really good tweet out there from Jack Manning. Jack is a guy that I've never met Jack, but he's always tweeting about the Golden Knights, and he pays attention to prospects and what's going on in the American League. And he's not so much an opinion guy, more hey, this is what's going on. So he's kind of interesting. This is his tweet today. It's pretty good. I've listened to every insider podcast I'm aware of.
Including Gary Lawless?
I don't have a podcast. I can summarize all of their thoughts on hashtag VegasBorn in one tweet. We haven't heard quotations. We haven't heard anything, but it's Vegas. So they are almost definitely, maybe, probably up to something because it's Vegas. Good job, Jack.
Yeah, no, that's a right assessment of the situation.
Yeah.
It has now been quite a track record. I mean, this will be the eighth trade deadline in franchise history. Of course, you know, one was a little bit weird because it was the abbreviated season, only 56 games. But the point being, there is a track record where the organization is always on the prowl. They have always been in contention for a playoff spot. They've never been in sell mode. It's always been bolstering the lineup. And I still go back, Gary, to the first home game in Knights history, and afterwards you had Gary's getting updates live on the air, folks. That's how connected the insider is.
I don't know how to turn that off.
But I remember, Gary, the first home game afterwards, there was a reception for a bunch of the staff and families, and it was looking out over to Sheba Plaza, just sort of soaking it all in. And I remember James Neal's dad wondering aloud where he thought, hey, where do you guys think they'll trade James to at the deadline?
Yeah.
You know, that was three games in to franchise history. Little did we know that that incredible start would continue all the way to the Stanley Cup final. But that has never happened. The team has never been in a sell mode. Right now you got some teams, you don't know if they're in, they're out, they're not sure. I mean, especially the Eastern Conference, where so many teams are right on the outside looking in, and even on the Western Conference side. Look what St. Louis has done recently. Look at Utah. I mean, there's definitely some question.
We'll get into the state of the market.
In
there, we want to clear up like what's going on exactly with the Golden Knights right up to this minute and last night's game. But state of the market we'll do in our second segment, because you're right. Like, there's been a few deals. But the dam has not broke. And, you know, history tells us there's going to be 50, 60 trades. Like, there's going to be, over the whole course of this week. And I think there's been kind of like three, you know.
Yeah.
If you include the original Rantanen trade, you know, which was a which was a blockbuster.
Right.
You've got kind of four big ones so far, but
Big ones, some little ones.
Yeah, there's going
to
be more.
Yeah, and that's sort of the point I was starting to get to, and we'll go into the trade deadline stuff more in a little bit. We are going to talk about the game yesterday here, but sometimes the Knights have impacted their team with a big splash, like mentioned Hanifin and Hurdle last year, but at other trade deadlines, and again, you know, that first trade deadline in 2018, there wasn't a huge splash. Even a couple years ago, though Ivan Barbashev ultimately had a big impact, at the time of the acquisition, it was not the biggest deal of the deadline.
Well, and this is, you know, there's this, I don't know who said it the first time. Someone said, oh, Vegas is always after the big shiny toy. It's one of the stupidest things ever said. Like, if you haven't figured out that Kelly McCrimmon doesn't walk around with a, with, you know, a buckshot and spraying everywhere, and that he's surgical with a, like, you know, with a pistol aiming exactly at his target. He has needs that he wants to address.
Yeah.
Now, if he can change the fortunes of the team for now and into the future, he might make a larger splash. But what he has an idea of what he wants and what he's willing to pay for it, and that's and he's grinding on it right now, trying to get to that. This whole, you know, back, you know what? When Alex Pietrangelo was a free agent, Vegas needed a number one defenseman. It wasn't about the big shiny toy. It was about they need a franchise defenseman. When Jack Eichel became, when it became evident that his time in Buffalo was over, Vegas needed a franchise center. Newsflash. The freaking franchise started 8 years ago. There's some holes. And just because McCrimmon was aggressive, bold, and smart enough and effective enough to get all those deals done, nothing to do with shiny toys. It has to do with the guy who might be the best general manager in the NHL knowing what he wants and then having the ability to get it.
Right. It's making the smart decisions, not the splashy ones. It's not about getting headlines. It's about winning hockey games and ultimately a championship, which, of course, did happen in 2023. And they came close in 2018, getting to the Stanley Cup final. Speaking, Gary, of the acquisitions made at last year's deadline, of course, it was Hurdle and Hanifin, not rentals, but players that were acquired with the long-term view of the franchise in mind. And it was one of those players who had a central role in the victory last night against the New Jersey Devils. The game was 0-0 through 40 minutes. The Knights drew a power play early in the third period. Tanner Pearson was interfered with by Jack Hughes. And then it was Eichel to Hanifin, a shot that got tipped home by Mark Stone. Vegas had a 1-0 lead. About 7.5 minutes later, another penalty. This was too many men on the ice against the Devils. And then Eichel wins the faceoff after Hurdle got tossed. And then Eichel to Hanifin. This time a slap shot that gets through a lot of traffic and under the right armpit of Jacob Markstrom. And that's a 2-0 lead, and that's how the Knights won the game. Noah Hanifin now with 4 points in his last two games.
Yeah, Noah gives, you know, they have two flavors when Shea Theodore is healthy. At the top, Shea is more of a Greg Maddux, paint the corners, you know, a real control picture.
Even as a Mets fan, I like that.
And Noah is Mike Scott. He's got the split-fingered fastball. He's going to blow you away with it, and he's coming right at you. Like, so Shea will distribute, so will Noah. But Noah, if he gets the puck and he can get it to the net, that's what he's doing.
Yeah. If you're following on our video streams along with our radio broadcast, you can pick up the broadcast on our digital channels. And if you are watching right now, you're seeing some of the highlights from the game yesterday. It was a 5 o'clock start at the Fortress as the Knights play the second game of five straight at T-Mobile Arena, 6 out of 7. And right now we're getting a look at Eichel winning that left circle faceoff and Noah Hanifin firing from straight on. And that goal made it 2-0. And though there were some power plays in the final stages of the game, there was no additional scoring. The final was 2-0. And, of course, that means a shutout. Aiden Hill's third shutout of the season. That's a career high. And, Gary, he has given up exactly 2 goals in a 3-game winning streak. Of course, after the break, Vancouver. It was a 3-1 victory and then 2-0 last time out against the Devils. Aiden Hill, right from the start, appeared to be locked in.
Yeah, he's been fantastic in his last two starts. And, you know, I said to you, I think on the radio, or maybe I said it to the two Darrens on the TV postgame show.
Or maybe all of us.
Yeah, if he plays like that, you know, that type of goaltending, and Vegas limits the opportunities like they did last night, that, you know, there was excellent, you're just seeing right there the commitment to team defense with Jack Eichel getting back to prevent Jack Hughes from having an easy tap in.
After the Heischer shot.
Yeah.
Hill made the great save.
Exactly.
And then unfortunate, as Eichel and Hughes come together, Jack Hughes goes down. So does Jack Eichel. They both kind of go into the boards, but Jack Hughes got the worst of it, injured on the play. Sheldon Keefe did not have an official update after the game. Sheldon Keefe was ejected from the game because I guess he thought that there should be a penalty there. Interference had been called against Jack Hughes on Tanner Pearson at the beginning of the period. I guess Sheldon thought that there should have been a penalty against Jack Eichel, I guess. But naturally some frustration. Your team's down 2-0 and your star player has just been injured.
Yeah, I think there was a lot going on for Sheldon at that point. And when he saw Jack Hughes, which is the present and the future of the New Jersey Devils, laying on the ice, and then start skating towards him with one hand hanging down, with clearly looked like a serious injury, upper body injury. He boiled over, and I don't think you can blame him for that. One of the best insiders in the National Hockey League. I'm not going to name him, but this guy is big time.
Okay, okay. You've got quite a Rolodex.
He
over
just
there.
Texted. Uh huh. Your listener has us pegged exactly, referring to the Jack to the Jack Manning tweet. So, thanks for listening, Mr. Unknown Insider.
Okay. Okay. Thanks for tuning in.
Yeah. Thanks for tuning in, big time. So, yeah, let's talk about my morning.
Okay. I thought you might want to save this for later, but
we gotta get it out now, because you're gonna be able to make fun of me for the whole show.
Yeah, okay.
I'll
preface this by saying I used to enjoy a morning swim, but it's been a while.
Yeah.
And apparently Gary does as well.
So you know me, Dan. I fancy myself as a bit of a handy guy. I've got some tools. I guess that makes you handy if you have
you
the
have
tools.
A shed with tools.
Yes,
in them.
Exactly. Okay. Yeah. No, I do a lot of stuff at the lake. I have time for it. I don't want to pay some guy to drive a long way to do it. There's lots of reasons why.
I mean, talking like a screwdriver or like circular saw? Cut, like how far?
I got
doing?
A chainsaw there.
Okay, all right.
I've got a lawnmower. I've got okay. I've got a miter saw. I've got.
Right,
I actually
okay.
have a shed full of tools.
All right,
and my wife will say, "Do this," and I will attempt to do it. And if I can't do it in a reasonably allotted amount of time, then I will call somebody.
Okay,
but I don't do much stuff in Vegas because, frankly, I don't have time.
Well, you're working.
Yeah, for sure.
We're in season.
But
yeah.
There are some things, like, for instance, it was very windy here yesterday, and there was a ton of debris in my backyard.
Batten down the
hatches. So, in my whole yard. So I have a really good blower, and I had it all. I charged it up when I got home last night, so it was ready to go this morning.
Like a leaf
so,
blower.
Yeah. So I got rid of all the stuff off the front, picked up all the branches off the driveway, et cetera, and then moved to the backyard. And our pool, one side of it, you know, it was nice and easy, but then there's a few steps that go up to a ledge at the back, and, you know, you can't get to the middle of that ledge because the pool's in the way, so you got to walk up. And so, of course, I was, you know, watching what the blower was doing and not watching where I was walking. And I started to fall, and I'm like, okay, this is not good. And then I'm like, okay, I had the presence of mind to throw the blower aside to get rid of it.
So right, well, that was what I was worried about.
So I didn't get electrocuted.
No, we can't have the insider fried.
No. But then I realized you might bang your head on the cement on the pool deck.
No.
So then I, like, completely committed to going in, and with the 1 foot that was still on terra firma, I kind of pushed off. Now, as I'm...
This is all in, you know, 2 or 3 seconds of real time.
Oh, yeah. Well, so this is the problem is, you know, if I am pretty agile for a big man.
Yeah. I,
so
I, no argument.
When, gets me into trouble because I think I can do things that I really can't.
And as good as you once were.
Yes, yes, no, exactly. Yeah, yeah. So I'm trying to perform a very, the triple Lindy.
Oh.
If you are fans of Back to School, mm-hmm. and the late, great Rodney Dangerfield, as I am trying to become Thornton Mellon.
Yep, yep.
And call me when you have no class. When I'm trying, as I'm trying to perform this, I realize, you know, you don't got this.
No.
So then I do push off, right. And I commit to fully. And
I'm going in.
As I'm going in, you know, one side of my head slams against the water, and there's still water somewhere in there bothering me. But then as I'm going down, you know me, Dan. What did I immediately check for?
Where's my cell phone?
Exactly. And it was in my left pocket. So far I've been trying to charge it up and I'm getting this signal. That area is wet and
it won't charge.
Disconnect right away or you're gonna fry.
Yeah,
your phone,
you should probably turn the phone off and put it in a bag of rice.
Yeah, 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 yeah. That's,
and get the moisture out of there.
I'm working on it.
Gary cannot turn his cell phone off at this stage of the season.
Really not easy for me to turn it off in the middle of summer, let alone when Kelly McCrimmon and his team are in the lab trying to make the VGK even better. So then I'm standing in the backyard.
Soaking wet.
Completely soaked. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I'm head to toe in VGK gear. Like it's there, you know, you get up in the morning and you put on your Golden Knights hoodie and your Golden Knights sweatpants.
At least it wasn't a suit.
And you go about your business. So, the dog is standing at the back door barking at me. And then finally around the corner comes my wife, who looks at me with her palms held up like, well, you know, I think part of her, she's going, why did I marry this idiot? Like, I'm like, at this point in time, I'm Fred Flintstone. I'm Peter Griffin. I'm Thornton Mellon. I'm a lot of caricatures, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. All of them cartoons.
Right.
Because at this moment, I am a complete cartoon.
All right.
But, you know, she was good enough to bring me a towel.
Oh,
and I disrobed in the backyard and quickly put a towel on.
That's,
so that,
thank you, good.
So that no one can see our backyard. So
no, but you're painting a vivid picture.
The poor dog.
I needed to stop somewhere.
The poor dog.
Yep, okay. Yep.
Stopped barking.
Yeah. And so I do have a question, though,
yeah.
And that is, you know, is there any sort of video documentation
of
the fall?
No. It's funny because the Ring camera in that area of the backyard. There we go. Who did that?
Ron Paul.
Well done, Ron Paul.
The video stream.
Well
here.
Done. Yes.
That's fantastic. And if you're listening on the radio, you can go back and watch this on our social media feeds. But you know, we're watching Rodney Dangerfield
perform the triple Lindy.
So just put Gary Lawless's face,
yes,
on Rodney Dangerfield or the stunt double. That's clearly not Rodney Dangerfield. And you survived, but there's no video evidence. So
no, the dog watched it all.
Okay.
Like the dog was looking out the back window and saw it all happen and started barking because she's a good little pup. When I sneeze, she comes and runs to my feet because she's worried. Because as you know, I can sneeze violently. And people know way too much about me now, and it is probably time to break.
TMI.
But, this is
what happens after 8 seasons, folks.
Yeah.
You get to know us all too well. Just imagine sitting on the airplane and at dinner how many nights. Oh, my goodness. You know, so sadly there's no video, but I suspect, Gary, if you were to do this again, we could sell some seats.
Oh, the other thing is the water, we haven't heated the pool.
Of course not.
Since, like, October, and it was freezing. I was cold.
Oh, no, Gary, we've got to step aside before I make any more references that are going to get us in trouble. Because a few are coming to mind. I'm not going to say them, but you could be
thinking. You're going to say shrinkage. You're going to talk about George Costanza. I know you very well,
Dan. That's exactly where I was
going. I know you very well. I know where you were going.
I chose not to because it's a family program. I was trying to make a transition to a select-a-seat program because, of course, wouldn't you want to select a seat to watch Gary fall into a pool? No, you wouldn't, but you would want to select a seat for season ticket membership. Join the Golden Knights on March 11th, hosting an exclusive select-a-seat open house for fans interested in full-season ticket membership at T-Mobile Arena for next year. Believe it or not, Season 9 is not all that far away. The 25-26 full-season tickets are available. And again, this event is March 11th. It'll be in person from 3 to 7 p.m. Head to vgk.io to reserve your spot now. vgk.io to reserve your spot. And that, again, is for full-season membership seat selection day, Tuesday, March 11th, down at the Fortress. And we now, mercifully, will step aside. This is Nighttime at Noon on Fox Sports Las Vegas.
We're back to Nighttime at Noon on your home for the Vegas Golden Knights, Fox Sports Las Vegas.
Welcome back, everybody. 12:24 Pacific time, coming to you from Studio 31 at City National Arena in Summerlin. It's Nighttime at Noon on Fox Sports Las Vegas. And before we get back to some hockey, we want to tell you about Nighttime Plus. Watch your Vegas Golden Knights this season with Nighttime Plus. Download Nighttime Plus today. You can get it on your smartphone, your tablet, your computer, or your television to watch Golden Knights games live. Nighttime Plus delivers all locally televised games on Scripps Sports, as well as bonus content created throughout the season. Download and subscribe now to tune in all season long. And we are into the final 22 games of the regular season. My goodness, it's March already. Can you believe it? And we welcome you back inside Studio 31. Dan Duva, Gary Lawless here. Vegas with a victory against the Devils last night. Their 36th win in 60 games. And they, of course, are top the Pacific Division and third in the Western Conference. Winnipeg and Dallas in front, 4 points up on the Edmonton Oilers, who are second in the Pacific Division. Aiden Hill, the shutout. A couple of points for Eichel, a couple of points for Hanifin, and the game winner for Mark Stone. Aiden Hill with the shutout, third of the year, and an impressive showing by the Golden Knights yesterday. They have now won their last two and five out of six. Well, Gary, it is, as we have discussed already a little bit, the trade deadline approaching. Around the NHL, there are some teams that are going to make more noise than others, at least they have so far. Where is some of that attention coming that you have picked up?
Well, the biggest thing out there, it remains Mikko Rantanen, because until there is some kind of resolution, and I don't think there is going to be resolution per se, but until management and ownership there figures out their path. So they have offered Mikko Rantanen. They traded Marty Necas and Jack Drury to Colorado for Mikko Rantanen. Taylor Hall came from Chicago in a separate, it was a three-way deal, but the big piece is they gave up two good players.
And this is because Colorado wasn't sure that it could
Colorado was having trouble signing Rantanen.
Yeah.
So Carolina sees an opening and thinks we could get that player and then we can sign him. And so they moved Natchez, who's under control for a while, was already extended, and Drury, a good young player. And they get Rantanen in exchange. Now, the problem is they reportedly have offered Rantanen over $100 million over 8 years, and he hasn't agreed to it. So that's a pretty big red flag. Yeah. If you're saying to someone, here's 100 schmil plus, and they don't sign right away or counter or whatever, so that you can, you know, see a path where, you know, maybe he's just in his mind, I'm going to July 1. I had loyalty to Colorado. I won a cup there. I've been there a long time. That's one thing. You know, I would work on a deal with them. These guys just traded for me. I don't know them. I don't know this community. I don't owe them anything. I'm going to July 1, and I'm getting my bag. And it's going to be as big a bag as I can possibly get. That's a crass way of putting it. Maybe he's like, I don't know enough about this area to know if I want to live here for the next 8 years. Because whatever deal he does is going to have a full no move.
Right.
This is a top 10 player in the NHL. This is, you know, among the top three wingers in the National Hockey League. And some might say he's the best. He's a fantastic player. Big, fast, can finish, goes to the hard areas. Major difference maker. So right now, Carolina's in a spot where they're like, okay, we gave all these pieces away. And if we don't, if we can't extend him, we're going to, you know, maybe we can soften the blow if we go on a run here and win the Stanley Cup. And then he leaves, right? We won our cup. That's just about anything is worth it to win a Stanley Cup. There's in terms of player assets, you can justify just about any trade if it results in you winning a Stanley Cup. That's putting a lot of eggs in a real small basket, because
yeah. And just for point of reference, where Carolina sits in the standings, it's not like they're the Washington Capitals, far and away number one in the East. I mean, they're number two behind Washington. They're 10 points behind Washington for second in that division. They've got just 4 wins in their last 10 games. Rantanen didn't come in and blow out the doors.
No. Well, some people will tell you that he just doesn't fit the way they play. Like, they want to win 2-1, not 5-4.
Yeah, I should have thought about that in advance, I guess.
I'm not criticizing anybody. Like, if I was a general manager and I had a chance to get Mikko Rantanen, yeah, I would probably try and do what I had to do. That being said, you're right. Maybe you thought he could adjust a little bit, but, you know, that's the other thing. He's just been okay since he got there. He hasn't lit the world on fire. He was pretty good the other night. So now you're a first-year GM, Eric Plesty, and your owner, and you're saying, okay, you know, when I came to you with this package and we shipped these really good players out there for this guy, I'm not sure we're going to be able to keep him long-term. So now you got to get your owner on board with either keeping him at the risk of losing him and saying, we're going to try and win the Stanley Cup, so this is it is what it is. Here we go. Mm. Or you say to your owner, you were in the room. You saw the offer we made him. He hasn't bit. Maybe we should move him again. And now, you know, like, what happens there? You're painted in a corner. It's a tough deal. Can you get the right assets? How many teams?
And who is a good partner? Exactly.
How many teams have cap space to make it happen? Do you have to get a broker involved? Now, all of a sudden, instead of having people phoning you saying, hey, we want Rantanen, you're phoning people and saying, hey, could you take Mikko off my hands? That's a hell of a phone call to have to make. Oh, 31 sharks that are trying to pick your pocket, right?
Yeah, oh my gosh. Yeah, and you tell me, Gary, and we'll continue to talk about some of the other potential trade scenarios that are percolating right now. How would you assess the trade market this year? You know, we always look at some of the big names who are on expiring contracts. You look at, say, the Golden Knights, then, you know, surprising everybody with the Tomas Hertl deal. Hanifin, you might have thought was going to be available. Tomas Hertl, nobody thought was going to be moved at the deadline. So how would you assess this trade deadline? Is it a buyer's market? Is it a seller's market? How do you see it?
Well, the market is completely unknown now because there's so many teams that still, like, I did it yesterday. There's like 6 teams in the wild card hunt in the East.
Yeah, I'll just give it to you real
quick. Buffalo and Philly are the only teams that are completely out. Maybe Pittsburgh now after another loss.
Yeah, so, I mean, you've got Detroit at 66 points in the second wild card spot. Detroit's at 66. And then you've got 3 teams at 64, 1 team at 63, 62, 61. So from the Islanders, who are in 8th in the wild card hunt, to Detroit holding the second wild card, that is 5 points.
Yeah, no, I can tell you right now, there's a number of those teams that should have waved the white flag.
Yeah.
Right? I can tell you right now, the New York Islanders aren't winning the Stanley Cup.
Yeah. So, like, Brock Nelson's name comes up.
But Lou Lamoriello, at 82 years of age, he probably not interested in what happens 5 years from now, more interested in what happens right now. And hey, maybe he would say to me, what do you know? Yeah. We got Sorokin, and maybe we catch lightning in a bottle, and we're the, what year did the Kings finish 8th? They were 8th in the West, and they won the Stanley Cup, right?
Yeah,
happens.
And I was going to say St. Louis more recently. Ask Alex Pietrangelo. You know, and so that is not impossible. You just have the right buttons at the right time and the right deal that sparks something. Who knows?
Yep.
In the Western Conference, by the way, Calgary and Vancouver both have 65 points. Calgary is the last team in. Vancouver is the first team out at the moment. They have the same points percentage, but tiebreaker right now with Calgary. So 65 points for the Flames, 65 for Vancouver, and then right after that, the Blues at 64, Utah at 63. Then there's a little bit of a drop, I would say.
Yeah, Anaheim's
the
not.
Ducks,
not,
Kraken,
not,
Predators, Blackhawks, Sharks are
yeah,
not quite in it.
Anaheim doesn't think it's a playoff team, right? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, yeah, you've got.
Though they have played better, you know, but
for sure.
Still not quite good enough. Yeah,
but Utah wants in, right?
Yeah,
like they,
yeah.
You know,
and they have played very well.
Yeah, so. Again, you know what I mean? Like if you're Bill Armstrong and you've got a brand new owner in Ryan Smith,
yeah,
you know, and Ryan is probably really excited to have a playoff game in Salt Lake City. Can you imagine the atmosphere? The atmosphere there is already off the charts. You know, you throw in what happens in playoff hockey and you'd have an opportunity to really cement yourself in that marketplace in year one. We know what that's like here in Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
Going to the Stanley Cup in year one for the Golden Knights changed the trajectory. I can tell you this right now. If Vegas hadn't have made the playoffs that year, they probably didn't win the Stanley Cup in 22-23 because Peter Neal, what he was asking you at that party.
James's dad.
That was the plan.
Oh, yeah.
But in the middle of December, Kelly McCrimmon and George McPhee and Bill Foley had to get together and go, okay, we were going to take Route 61 and go through all these great towns. We're going to take Route 50. We're going to take, I don't know another great highway in the U.S. Route 61 is a famous one. Help
right.
me out.
I mean, Route 80 goes across the country.
Okay. We're going to take Route 80.
Yeah. I don't know.
Like they had on the
Interstate
fly.
Interstate highway. Yeah.
They had to get their trip tick out and tear a few pages out and say, we're going to go this way. And that resulted in them, you know, Kelly McCrimmon and George McPhee doing something we've never seen before, building a franchise out of nothing and winning a Stanley Cup in year six.
And so when we come back, we'll talk about maybe what are some possibilities for the Golden Knights with the trade deadline approaching. What could be some of those needs? We'll discuss that. We'll also take a look at what's coming up for the Golden Knights as they continue this five-game homestand. They have won the first two, Chicago on Thursday, and then last night 2-0 against the New Jersey Devils. But first, I'd like to tell you about the team store, and we'll get to that in just a moment. But first, we will step aside. You are listening to Nighttime at Noon on Fox Sports Las Vegas.
Live from City National Arena, this is Nighttime at Noon on Fox Sports Las Vegas.
At 12:39 Pacific Time, welcome back to Studio 31. It is Nighttime at Noon on Fox Sports Las Vegas. AFC Bournemouth continues to roll. The official Instagram for AFC Bournemouth is here. Head to @AFCBINUSA. That's sort of born in the USA. Get the idea? Yep, that's on Instagram. You can see exclusive behind-the-scenes content surrounding AFC Bournemouth here in the States. The Cherries continue their record-breaking season as they take on Tottenham on March the 9th at 7 a.m. Pacific time, and you can watch by stream on Peacock. Again, that is @AFCBINUSA, Bournemouth in the USA. Pretty cool. I love it. Especially the Springsteen fans. Up the Cherries.
Have I ever told you my Bournemouth story?
I don't think so.
So
Dan and Gary here, by the way, on Nighttime at Noon.
This is more domestic Gary. When I cut my grass in the summertime at the lake,
okay.
My lovely neighbor, John, John is a really good neighbor and an outstanding guy, but is self-admittedly very cheap. And I don't think he keeps any beer in his fridge. So when he hears my mower going on, he knows that in about 15 minutes, I'm going to need a break for a refreshment. So he goes out and starts his lawnmower as well. And me being the kind of neighbor that I am, when I go inside for a refreshment, I don't go just for me. I always yell over, "Hey, John, want a beer?" And he always says yes.
Very generous.
So this summer, we're standing there and we're having our cold beer after cutting like 50 square feet of grass before I get thirsty. And he said, and we started talking. He goes, oh, I'm off to England.
Oh.
And he's English. He's from England. I'm going, oh, yeah, no kidding. Where are you going? He goes, I'm going to my hometown. I said, you've never told me where your hometown is. He goes, I'm from Bournemouth.
Uh-huh.
And I immediately phoned Garrett Callaway and said, hey, you got a FedEx of Bournemouth jersey up here. And I surprised him with it. And he whispered it to me as I gave it to him, don't tell Wendy, but this is the greatest present I've ever received.
Oh, my. Well, there you have it. Bournemouth, yeah. The Cherries, as we discussed earlier, coming here to the USA soon. So that's fantastic. We have been talking about the trade deadline, which is, by the way, on Friday. Knights have a couple of games this week, so they've played against two teams here at home on the five-game homestand. Beat Chicago on Thursday 7-5. Beat the Devils last night 2-0. Wednesday against the Toronto Maple Leafs 7:00. And then, after the deadline will have passed, Friday night against the Pittsburgh Penguins. They wrap the homestand Sunday 5:00 against the LA Kings. So Toronto Wednesday, Pittsburgh on Friday, Los Angeles on Sunday. And then they hit the road, Gary. Lots of Eastern Conference opponents coming up, with the Kings being the exception there on Sunday. So that brings us, Gary, with 22 games left in the season. Game 60 was last night. Where are the Golden Knights in terms of their roster composition, and what might they be looking for come this trade deadline? Last year, of course, we were surprised by the acquisition of Tomas Hertl, so you never know. Just because you think you know what they're looking for doesn't mean that's exactly what they will turn out. I'll start with this. Shea Theodore and William Karlsson.
And Cole Schwint.
And you don't want to forget Cole Schwint, but I'll put Theodore and Karlsson at the top of the list because they've been instrumental through 7.5 years of this franchise. And those would be players, if they were available for whatever reason, you would love to acquire. And so, again, pseudo acquisitions, whenever those players do come back, Karlsson and Theodore. So noting those two, plus Cole Schwint, who, you know, prior to this year hadn't really been an NHL guy, but established himself as a regular. You know, since then, the Knights have added Brandon Saad. Raphael Lavoie has now played 8 games with the Golden Knights. And so I guess the question is, Gary, considering those players who are currently unavailable, now, what are some of the things that the Golden Knights might be looking at? What might be the areas that Kelly and George and company are trying to improve?
Yeah, well, first of all, I would state, you know, Kelly has got on the record saying, you know, he expects it to be, you know, in terms of a Golden Knights deadline, more of a minor one, you know, with last year's deal being, like, so massive, right? Like, Hertl is right now, he's playing tremendous hockey. So is Hanifin. And, like, what he did last year at the deadline, one of the biggest deadlines we've seen in a long time from any team. So I don't expect it to be that kind of a splash. When Theodore's healthy, he's got Ben Hutton and Caden Korzak who can't get in the lineup. Yeah. So I don't think he needs to add on the blue line. You know, I think he can always use depth at forward depth. So to me, you know, listen, and maybe it's one of those years where you add from within and you bring your own people. Like, they sent Alexander Holtz down to the American League to find a scoring touch for yesterday. He's red hot. You know, maybe it's a recall for him. That, you know, it used to be done that way. You know, teams would get into the playoffs and they'd have an injury and then, you know, okay, we're bringing this guy up from the American League, and they brought their own people up and gave them a chance in the playoffs. And sometimes guys caught lightning in a bottle and went off and had a great playoff. And eventually, no one had ever heard of Patrick Waugh or Ken Dryden before they got their chances, right?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Claude Lemieux. I'm using all Montreal examples, but that's the way it used to be done. So maybe it's.
I even remember, you know, Chris Kreider coming out of Boston College, joining for the Rangers for that long run. That's over a decade now, but still.
But so maybe it's something more like that happens with them. I should also, the caveat here is, I have no idea. You know, I mean, the last conversation I had with Kelly McCrimmon was, he sent me a text the other day taking a shot at me because I tweeted the fact that I was at the rink at 5:30 in the morning to watch my daughter's practice, and he was making fun of me for for sharing this. That's the only conversation I've had with him, and it's had nothing to do with what he's working on. And
has he texted you about your swimming this morning?
No. Okay. No, because he's been busy. At the end of the day, he'll see all my dumb tweets and then maybe say, hey, bonehead.
Yeah.
Don't fall in the pool.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Well, there's. I will share a couple of things. Number one, Kelly McCrimmon is a regular guest on the Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, which, of course, is 4 to 6 on this radio station weekdays with Darren Millard, Ryan Wallace, and Chris Chapman chimes in occasionally. Kelly McCrimmon is expected to join the show in his usual Monday spot. So the show goes from 4 to 6. Usually it's about 4:15. I think that's the idea for today as well. So expect to hear from Kelly himself later today here on Fox Sports Las Vegas on the VGK Insider Show. I also want to point out a great article. Mike Zeisberger, our friend who writes now for NHL.com, he has a story that was published late last night. Zeising him up, Golden Knights GM discusses philosophy as trade deadline nears. And there's some great stuff in this article with Mike talking with Kelly McCrimmon, but essentially, Gary, it's the discussion that you just pointed out. It seems like it's going to be a quieter one relative to some previous Golden Knights trade deadlines, but it also goes to show, you know, in this article, Kelly talks about the Florida Panthers, and, you know, they had lost Brandon Montour, Oliver Ekman-Larsson. What do they do with this trade deadline? Well, they've acquired Seth Jones. They give up Spencer Knight to the Blackhawks. But interesting perspective here from Kelly McCrimmon on this trade deadline, all from Mike Zeisberger. You can find it out at NHL.com. And great stuff from Mike, as always.
Do we have time to talk about that trade?
Very quickly, if you want.
Well, can we do it after the break?
Why don't we do it after the break?
Yeah, let's
break. Let's do that. We are running out of time rapidly here on Nighttime at Noon. But before we do get to that break, we want to tell you about YouTube. You know what? Let's save the YouTube for after the break just to make sure we're on time. This is Nighttime at Noon on Fox Sports Las Vegas.
We're back to Nighttime at Noon on your home for the Vegas Golden Knights, Fox Sports Las Vegas.
12:51 Pacific time in Las Vegas. Hey, Golden Knights fans, if you want more Golden Knights content, head over to the Vegas Golden Knights YouTube channel and subscribe now. You can watch all-access player interviews, game highlights, and even our special VGK Origin Series. Subscribe to our channel today to stay up to date on all things VGK and revisit some of our greatest moments as the Vegas Golden Knights. Back inside Studio 31 in City National Arena. Dan Duva, Gary Lawless, final minutes of the program as the Knights coming off a 2-0 victory yesterday against the Devils, next in action Wednesday against the Toronto Maple Leafs. And the Maple Leafs, by the way, with a very exciting overtime victory, William Nylander, 6-5 Leafs over the Pittsburgh Penguins yesterday afternoon. But Gary, around the NHL, there has been a couple of trades in the last couple of days, most notably Seth Jones headed to the Florida Panthers.
Yeah, this deal kind of surprised me because of the size of the deal. You know, Seth Jones makes $9.5 million a year. And even with the Chicago Blackhawks retaining 26%, about $2.5 million, the value of his contract is against the Florida's cap is still $7 million a year for 5 years after this season. So Aaron Ekblad and Sam Bennett are on expiring deals. This kind of is a signal to Aaron Ekblad, we've replaced you. Mm. And the timing of that is like, listen, Seth Jones is a good player. Maybe he is better than Aaron Ekblad at this stage, but Ekblad's a huge piece of that dressing room, that organization. If that's the case, that, you know, and I would imagine his agent will have been in contact with Bill Zito's and said, what's this mean for us? And, you know, where that conversation goes, who knows? But if Ekblad is in essence being told, we don't, you know, our heart isn't in you anymore, how can his heart be in them? Mm. And yeah, that heading into a playoff run is a dangerous place to be with such an important piece of your club.
Trade deadline is 3:00 Eastern time, so 12 noon Pacific time, Friday at noon, and we will, as we often have over the years, a live trade deadline broadcast. It'll be streaming here on our digital channels, so get ready. Friday, Trade deadline is at noon Pacific time, 3 Eastern, and we'll see if the Golden Knights are involved. But just as notable, Gary, what some rivals might be doing. I mean, the Edmonton Oilers are, you know, they lost some players in the offseason. They'd been on a 5-game skid until last game that they won. Or the LA Kings.
Edmonton's got a big situation on their hands is that Evander Kane is making noise like, I'm ready to play. Yep. I'm going to be ready to play before the end of the season. And if that's the case,
he's like making over $5 million.
Yes,
right?
Dan Bowman was planning on being able to use that space. But Evander wants to show the world in the regular season that he can play. Because if he doesn't and his contract expires and he hasn't played in a while, his value is diminished. He needs to play for his next contract to have some value. So, you know, the players are all independent contractors. He is, and if he says to the hockey world, I'm ready to play, and Stan Bowman has used that cap space, they got a problem.
Yeah.
So there is talk that they're trying to trade Evander Kane right now rather than activate him. They want to use that space for something else.
Oilers in second place. Kings are in third place. And then over in the Central Division, of course, Winnipeg's number one. Dallas not all that far behind, right there neck and neck with the Golden Knights, Gary. You know, Minnesota just 2 days ago acquired Gus Nyquist from Nashville for a second-round pick. We mentioned also that the Colorado Avalanche getting Jimmy Vesey and Ryan Lindgren. The other Lindgren, Charlie, just signing a 3-year contract extension with the Capitals. But quickly, Gary, any thoughts on some of the other rivals in the Western Conference and what they might be looking for here at the deadline?
Well, Dallas is scary because they've got that Tyler Seguin's cap money. They've got it that they can use, so they can really add.
And Haskinen, when do we think he'll be back?
I don't know exactly, but you know they're not putting him on LTIR until the end of the year.
Okay,
no, but Sagan's money, they've kept their powder dry. So, and that is, you know what I mean? Like, if you're worried about what could happen with Mikko Rantanen, that's the place you don't want him to land.
Okay, again, trade deadline is Friday, March the 7th at 3 Eastern, noon Pacific time. We'll have a live broadcast as we do annually for the Golden Knights' take on the trade deadline. Of course, Brandon Saad, not a trade, but was acquired in recent days, and he has now played 8 games with the Golden Knights, so Brandon Saad, 1 pickup. We'd like to thank you for tuning in to this broadcast. We remind you that the Knights are in action against Toronto on Wednesday, 7 o'clock. That's a nationally televised game. But Gary and I, of course, will have the radio broadcast right here on Fox Sports Las Vegas. Thanks to Lexi, Justin, Ron Paul, Ruben, and for Golden Knights insider Gary Lawless, Dan Duva saying so long and good day. This has been Nighttime at Noon on Fox Sports Las Vegas.